Thinking 101, How to Reason Better to Live Better, by Woo Kyung An, read for you by Lessa Lam. Introduction. When I was a graduate student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, doing research in cognitive psychology, our lab group went out every now and then for nachos and beers. It was a great opportunity for us to ask our advisor about things that wouldn't likely come up in our more formal individual meetings. At one of those gatherings, I summoned up the courage to ask him a question that had been on my mind for some time. Do you think cognitive psychology can make the world a better place? I felt a bit like my question was coming out of left field. Having already committed my life to this area of study, it was a little late to be asking it. But even though I had presented my findings at cognitive science conferences around the world and was on track to publish them in respected psychology journals, I had been having a hard time explaining the real-life implications of my work to my friends from high school. On that particular day, after struggling to read a paper in which the author's primary goal appeared to be to show off how smart they were by tackling a convoluted problem that didn't exist in the real world, I finally found the courage to raise that question, with some help from the beer. Our advisor was famous for being obscure. If I asked him, "Shall I do A or B for the next experiment?" he would either answer with a cryptic, "Yes," or turn the question around and ask, "What do you think?" This time, I had asked him a simple yes or no question, so he chose a simple answer. Yes. My lab mates and I sat there silently for what felt like 5 minutes waiting for him to elaborate, but that was all he said. Over the course of the next 30 or so years, I've tried to answer that question myself by working on problems that I hope have real-world applications. In my research at Yale University, where I've been a professor of psychology since 2003, I've examined some of the biases that can lead us astray and developed strategies to correct them in ways that are directly applicable to situations people encounter in their daily lives. In addition to the specific biases I've chosen to research, I've also explored an array of other real-world thinking problems that can cause issues for myself and those around me, students, friends, family. I saw how my students procrastinate because they underestimate the pain of doing an assignment in the future as opposed to doing exactly the same thing right now. I heard from a student who told me about a doctor who misdiagnosed her because he only asked questions that confirmed his original hypothesis. I noted the unhappiness of people who blame themselves for all their troubles because they only see one side of reality, and the unhappiness caused by other people who never see themselves as being at fault for anything at all. I witnessed the frustration of couples who thought they were communicating with perfect clarity, but actually were completely misunderstanding each other. And I also saw how thinking problems can cause troubles that go far beyond individuals' lives. These fundamental errors and biases contribute to a wide range of societal issues, including political polarization, complicity in climate change, ethnic profiling, police shootings, and nearly every other problem that stems from stereotyping and prejudice. I introduced a course called Thinking to show students how psychology can help them recognize and tackle some of these real-world problems and make better decisions about their lives. It must have filled a real need, because in 2019 alone, more than 450 students enrolled in it. It seemed they craved the kind of guidance psychology could provide, and they told one another about it. I then noticed a curious thing. When I was introduced to students' family members who were visiting campus, they would often tell me how the students in my course would call home to talk about how they